Jai Radha Madhava Kund Bihari, Jai Radha Madhava. Jai Radha Madhava Kund Bihari, Jai Radha Madhava. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhariya. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhariya. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tiravana Chari. Yamuna Tiravana Chari. Jai Radha Madhava Kund Bihari, Radha Madhava. Jaya Radha Madhava Kund Bihari, Radha Madhava. Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tiravana Chari. Yamuna Tiravana Chari. Jai Radha Madhava Kund Bihari, Radha Madhava. Jaya Radha Madhava Kund Bihari, Radha Madhava. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Radha, Madhava Radha, Madhava Radha. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Prabhupada. Prabhupada, 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 Prabhupada. Jaya, Jaya, Prabhupada, 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 Prabhupada. Gauru Pimanande, Jayam Vishupad Paramahamsa, Pari Vrajagacharya Stotara Satya Sri Simad, His Divine Grace, Srila Bhai Charanaravinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki, Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki, Iskandiviti Founder Charya's Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki, Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki, Samaveta Bhaktivedanta Ki, Hari Nam Sankirtan ki, Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Jani Thai Gaura Pimanande, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and to Sri Gauranga, all glories to Sri La Prabhupada.
Hare Krishna, it's our great fortune to have amongst us His Holiness Bhakti Raghava Swami Maharaj. Maharaj's introduction. Maharaj was born in a French-Canadian Roman Catholic family. After graduating from the University of Ottawa, he worked as a social worker for some time. He carried the same philanthropic spirit even after joining ISKCON. His exterior of gentle, soft speech, wit and disarming humor hides a strong personality brimming within with determination stilled by conviction in his Guru Srila Prabhupada's instructions and Shastra. He pioneered a spiritual revolution by taking Srila Prabhupada's message to interior villages of India, especially in the states of Orissa and Bengal. Undeterred by linguistic barriers and physical challenge of having just one leg, he set up more than 1200 Namhatta Sanghas, congregational centers, in his early days of preaching. He then successfully pioneered the Bhaktivedanta Youth Services, BYS, to help make the youth of India aware of their rich spiritual heritage. He has been seriously practicing Krishna consciousness for close to 45 years, beginning his journey in 1974. Displaying the same inspirational enthusiasm, he helps spread awareness and to manifest Srila Prabhupada's 50% mission, the Daiva Varanashram Dharma. He has now set his heart to launch the economy and every individual on the trajectory of sustainable growth by keeping Krishna, Gomata and Bhumata at the center of their lives. He has been instrumental in the setup of successful devotee farm communities in Indonesia and Cambodia and now in India. There are several farm communities which seek guidance from him. He initiated the global Om Shri Surabhi campaign to spread awareness about the glories of our mother cow and our complete dependence on her for our spiritual, material and economic survival. He travels extensively across the world to spread the message. He also initiated Shri Govinda Gau Gram Prachar Yatra to reinforce the Om Shri Surabhi campaign and cause of Bhumata besides spiritual emancipation in the 108 Indian villages in the states of Telangana, Andhra, Orissa, Bengal and Madhya Pradesh. He is an educationist, spiritualist, social activist and prolific author of several books and articles. Now he pursues his doctoral research in sociology from Osmania University in India. His presentations in this regard have received great adulation and been appreciated for their fresh outlook and effective presentation by the intelligentsia. Displaying the unique combination of knowledge and simplicity, he is a rare person inspiring love towards the God. As a part of his PhD on Vedic Sociology from Usmania University, Maharaj will be covering 108 villages for survey. Till now, 64 villages in India and 10 villages abroad are covered. In this Pune visit, he will be covering 7 villages around Nigdi, Vella and Saswad. Maharaj has written quite some books here. After the lecture, those devotees who want, they can take the book. Maharaj will be personally signing also. So let us welcome His Holiness Bhakti Raghu Swami Maharaj by loudly chanting Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol.
Om Agyan Timirandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Juta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavam Sya Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunatan Vitam Tvam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhanvitam Sya Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Tirubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narotamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Mudirayet Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, let us first offer our respectful obeisances unto Narayana, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, unto Narayana Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, and unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author. Nasta prayesha badreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Tamashloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki. By regularly hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam and by rendering service unto the pure devotee, all that is troublesome within the heart becomes destroyed practically to nil. And loving devotional service unto the Supreme Lord, who is praised with transcendental songs, becomes established as an irrevocable fact. Idam Bhagavatam Nama Puranam Brahma Samhitam Uttama Shloka Charitam Chakara Bhagavan Rishi Nishreya Sayalokasya Danyam Swasjayanam Mahat. This Srimad Bhagavatam, known as the Granth Raj, the king of all Vedic literatures, is the literary incarnation of God. It is compiled by the incarnation of God, Srila Vyasadeva. It is meant for the ultimate good of all people. It is all successful, all blissful, and all perfect. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Sri Sarabhyay Namaha Om Sri Sarabhyay Namaha Om Sri Sarabhyay Namaha Mukham Karoti Vasalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripa Tamaham Bande Sri Gurum Dinataranum Yat Kripa Tamaham Bande Sri Gurum Dinataranum Hare Krishna. We'd like to welcome all of you who are attending the morning Bhagavatam class. Bhagavatam class is meant to be one of our most important activities of the day, every day. We have chosen one verse from the first canto of the Bhagavatam. Srila Prabhupada actually has explain that not knowing if I could complete the translation of the Bhagavatam, I have intentionally put everything, condensed everything in the first canto of the Bhagavatam. So the first canto of the Bhagavatam in many ways is complete, and we find many wonderful verses. We have chosen one verse, which is on the board, from the second chapter, entitled Divinity and Divine Service. That's text number? Yes, okay. We're on the same page. Dharmaha Swanustitaha Humsam Vishvakshena Vathasu Yaha Nutpadayat Yadi Ratim Srama Eva Ehi Kevalam Dharma Sanustita Pumsam Vishvakshena Kathasuya Nutpadayat Yadi Ratim Srama Eva Hivikevalam Dharma Swanustita Pumsam Vishvakshena Kathasuya Nutpadayat Yadi Ratim Srama Eva Hivikevalam Dharma Sanustita Pumsam Vishvakshena Kathasuya Nutpadayat Yadiratim Srama Eva Hi Kevalam. Dharma Samishtita Pumsa Ladies, occupation, svanusthitaha, executed in terms of one's own position. Pumsam, of humankind. Vishvaksena, the personality of Godhead. Plenary portion. Kathasu, in the message of. Yaha, what is, na, not, utpadayat, does produce, yadi, if, ratim, attraction, sramaha, useless labor, eva, only, he, certainly, kevalam, entirely. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki. The occupational activities a man performs according to his own position are only so much useless labor if they do not provoke attraction for the message of the personality of Godhead. Kindly repeat after me. The occupational activities a man performs according to his own position are only so much useless labor if they do not provoke attraction for the message of the personality of Godhead. Purport. There are different occupational activities in terms of man's different conceptions of life. To the gross materialist who cannot see anything beyond the gross material body, there is nothing beyond the senses. Therefore, his occupational activities are limited to concentrated and extended selfishness. Concentrated selfishness centers around the personal body. This is generally seen amongst the lower animals. Extended selfishness is manifested in human society and centers around the family, society, community, nation, and world with a view to gross bodily comfort. Above these gross materialists are the mental speculators who hover aloft in the mental spheres, and their occupational duties involve making poetry and philosophy and propagating some ism with the same aim of selfishness limited to the body and the mind. But above the body and mind is a dormant spirit soul whose absence from the body makes the whole range of bodily and mental selfishness completely null and void. But less intelligent people have no information of the needs of the spirit soul. Because foolish people have no information of the soul and how it is beyond the purview of the body and mind, they are not satisfied in the performance of their occupational duties. The question of the satisfaction of the self is raised herein. The self is beyond the gross body and subtle mind. He is a potent
active principle of the body and mind, without knowing the need of the dormant soul, one cannot be happy simply with emolument of the body and mind. The body and the mind are but superfluous outer coverings of the spirit soul. The spirit soul's needs must be fulfilled simply by cleansing the cage of the bird. One does not satisfy the bird. One must actually know the needs of the bird himself. The need of the spirit soul is that he wants to get out of the limited sphere of material bondage and fulfill his desire for complete freedom. He wants to get out of the covered walls of the greater universe. He wants to see the free light and the spirit. That complete freedom is achieved when he meets the complete spirit, the personality of Godhead. There is a dormant affection for God within everyone. Spiritual existence is manifested through the gross body and mind in the form of perverted affection for gross and subtle matter. Therefore, we have to engage ourselves in occupational engagements that will evoke our divine consciousness. This is possible only by hearing and chanting the divine activities of the Supreme Lord. And any occupational activity which does not help one to achieve attachment for hearing and chanting the transcendental message of Godhead is said herein to be simply a waste of time. This is because other occupational duties, whatever ism they may belong to, cannot give liberation to the soul. Even the activities of the salvationists are considered to be useless because of their failure to pick up the fountainhead of all liberties. The gross materialist can practically see that his material gain is limited only to time and space, either in this world or the other. Even if he goes up to the Svargaloka, he will find no permanent abode for his hankering soul. The hankering soul must be satisfied by the perfect scientific process of perfect devotional service. Translation again. The occupational activities a man performs according to his own position are only so much useless labor if they do not provoke attraction for the message of the personality of Godhead. So this particular chapter, Divinity and Divine Nature, especially focuses on the primary goal of life and what is meant the primary, what is meant to be the primary activity, which of course is bhakti or devotional service. Here it is mentioning about occupational activities or occupational duties. Because we are here in the material world, we have to be engaged somehow or other. For devotees, sometimes it becomes a dilemma, especially when we join a temple and we come to know about this very rare gift of bhakti or devotional service, which, as we come to find out, is only attained after many, many lifetimes. Brahmanda Brahmite Kono Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasadipai Bhakti Lata Bij. This seed of bhakti is attained after a very long period of time. And sometimes when one finally does come in contact, as all of us who are sitting here have all had this great fortune of coming in contact with this knowledge of Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, we would not be sitting here. But sometimes, whether one is a full-time devotee or whether one is residing outside and a member of the congregation, the question of occupational duty comes up naturally, because not everyone can live in a temple. Majority of common people and the majority of our own devotees are actually engaged in so-called material activities. So, very important for us to understand how the Vedic literatures are divided primarily into what is called Sruti and Smriti. And whereas Sruti are especially focused on the spiritual dimension, and Smriti speaking about various material sciences that are actually needed and important for us to be engaged in, both of these sections aim at the same goal. It means that even material activities are meant to be completely spiritualized. And therefore, for a devotee who has this understanding, for a devotee who learns to see things, to analyze things through the eyes of Shastra, Shastra Chakshu, as Prabhupada would explain, that actually nothing is material. So therefore, in the context of a somewhat controversial subject matter of Varnashrama, there are different understandings and opinions amongst devotees regarding whether this is actually necessary and whether this is possibly an activity that also keeps us more on the bodily platform as opposed to pure bhakti or pure devotional service. It is very important actually for every member of our society to nicely understand what is Krishna's scheme or what is Krishna's plan. What are Krishna's different systems that he has introduced? He has created this material world, introducing various kinds of systems or plans. So, one of the less, actually, especially in Kali Yuga, when we read from the Bhagavatam, we see how from the very beginning, due to the cursing of the young boy, Sringi, Parikshit Maharaj was cursed to die within 7 days. And our acharyas, explained that actually from the very beginning of Kali Yuga, a kind of, we could say, animosity or rift was created between Brahmanas and Kshatriyas. And to this day, that rift remains, actually. However, when we properly understand how it is actually necessary for the overall organization of society to have some kind of organized arrangement which is actually ordained or created by the Supreme Lord. And therefore, especially these two natural leaders in society, the Brahmanas and the Kshatriyas. See, we have to recognize and understand that there are natural leaders in society that must be there in order for the essence of what is dharma. And the very first word of this verse is dharma. Dharma is meant to be our specialty as devotees. Actually, it is meant to be the main focus for everyone who has attained this human form of life, because only those in the human form can actually begin to understand about dharma. As nicely explained also by Srila Narada Muni in the 7th canto of the Bhagavatam, this study of dharma, this meditation about dharma, which is translated in many ways and sometimes as duties. Dharma means what is our duty. What is our spiritual duty, our primary spiritual duty. But dharma also, what is our primary material duty, what is meant to be our natural material duty. Actually, we have both simultaneously. That is often not, we could say, properly understood. So this point, Narada Muni is nicely explaining. Dharma mulam hi bhagavan sarva vedamayo harihi smritam chat bidam rajan yena chatma prasidati. Smriti means to remember. So Narada Muni is nicely explaining to Yudhisthira Maharaj that actually anyone who wants to be advanced, anyone who wants to progress in spiritual life, to be advanced actually means to progress in spiritual life, should every day be trying to deepen one's understanding of what is dharma. And if we look at the world situation today, of course, vast majority of people have very little understanding of what is spiritual dharma, and also have practically no understanding of what is material dharma. Those of us, once again, who are greatly fortunate to have come in contact with this knowledge of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, especially considering the situation in the world today, where there is an ongoing major deviation from both the proper spiritual understanding of life as well as the proper material understanding in terms of what we should be doing, what kind of engagement or work we should be taking, what is actually meant to be economic development, for example, in society. And ultimately, of course, how people can be can be happy. The devotees are in a very unique position, and Srila Prabhupada has explained this as well. Devotees are in a unique position to understand perfectly the spiritual dimension of what dharma is, which ultimately, of course, as mentioned here, must lead us to pure bhakti, pure devotional service. And also, which is less understood very often, unfortunately, devotees are also meant to be uniquely positioned to analyze and instruct general society, and especially those who are in leadership position, because that's one of our meant to be one of our primary responsibilities as a ISKCON is meant to be representing especially the Brahminical culture. Brahmana means someone who is especially cultivating the science of Brahman or the spiritual science, but also who is knowledgeable, must be knowledgeable about Krishna's material creation and how Krishna's material energy is meant to work, how we are meant to utilize Krishna's material energy. So therefore, as we travel, as was mentioned a little earlier, we have this ongoing program called Dharma Gogram Yatra. And although most of the time I am in villages, not in the cities, but occasionally I make an appearance in some temple like Pune today. But it's very important for our devotees to add this dimension. What is this dimension I'm referring to? This dimension of what Prabhupada calls material swadharma. One of our devotees who is a qualified, professional, experienced Kaviraj, Ayurvedic doctor, was recently visiting. He gives seminars at different times, and was recently visiting one of our temples, giving 2 days of seminars and discussions on health matters and diet and food and whatnot, which for many devotees was somewhat of a revelation. And which is very important, because if this machine, this body machine is not working properly, we cannot engage that body nicely, properly in Krishna service, isn't it? So we have yet to properly realize and understand how our Vedic culture, as ordained by Krishna, as arranged by Krishna, is meant to be and is actually, has always been, except for the last few hundred years, it's less visible or less easy to actually see or to understand, has always been an agrarian-based culture. Agrarian-based culture means that in the exact same way that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, manifested his pastimes in Vrindavan, in the village of Vrindavan, on so many occasions, Prabhupada explains that this is actually meant to be this life of Vrindavan. Now, Kartik is just around the corner. Many devotees are planning to go to Vrindavan. But very often devotees will miss this particular point, that Vrindavan is not only something that happens during the month of Kartik. Vrindavan is something that happens 12 months of the year. And so the lifestyle of the residents of Vrindavan, especially 5,000 years ago, and even here in more recently, in practically speaking all the villages of India, was focused on very simple activities. In the context of agrarian life, means in the context of land, cows, and cultivation of Krishna consciousness. These three things: land, cows, and Krishna consciousness. This is actually Brahminical culture. And within that Brahminical culture, there must be natural divisions according to individuals' tendencies, aptitudes, abilities, etc. That's just the way Krishna has created this material world. And when we begin to understand this and connect all of this, of course, with Krishna, naturally, then everything begins to fall in place naturally. It is very much part of our mission, of Srila Prabhupada's mission, not only to teach people to take up the chanting of the holy name, which is, of course, basic, fundamental, and also the most important, but at the same time, Srila Prabhupada wanted us to instruct, not only to instruct, but also to show and demonstrate practically ourselves what is meant to be the ideal lifestyle. And that ideal lifestyle, which means what is